Howdy do, buckaroos, and welcome to the After Show 2020 edition. After Show 2020K. 20K20?
Who knows?
Who even knows anymore?
What's important is that at some point regularly for the next 12 months, we all get to say, this is 2020.
Or hindsight is 2020. Or the Roaring Twenties, any number of things we could say. I am Michael Rose. Welcome back to the After Show. I am joined, as always, by my partner in podcasting crime, from the naughty oddies through the mean teens, and here we are in the Roaring Twenties, Ms. Kelly Gumond.
Oh my gosh!
Is that actually true? I just said that without thinking about it. Is it actually true?
Yes,
it is actually true.
Yes.
Across 3 decades.
Because I became a known associate of Tua in like 2009.
Known associate. Criminal mastermind. In 2009, you say?
I'm pretty sure it was, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right, because I was in 2006 or 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's across, spanning.
Good Lord.
Touching 3 decades, not spanning three decades.
That means we're entering our second decade of podcasting together.
We're well into our second 10-year span. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We're entering our third decade.
Good. What?
third decade in terms of the official calendar, 11th or 12th year. However you slice it, it's a long time. It's crazy.
I'd like to thank all of you for joining us. It's been a great show. There's kids on my lawn I gotta go shout at now. And then apparently drink heavily and remember the good old days.
So actually earlier this evening, our fellow podcasting partner in crime, Mr. Dave Kalo, tweeted something.
Dave!
That made me sit up and take notice. Not the only thing this weekend, this week that was tweeted that got my attention, but this one in particular. He mentioned the game Myth 2, Soul Blighter, the classic Bungie combat strategy, throw exploding things at dwarves, if I'm remembering the correct game. And apparently there's a way to play it on modern operating systems. Mm. That is my next call after this one, is to figure that out, because I loved that game. That's
that
not the only...
Way more fun than what my big weekend plans are.
Well, I mean, the other thing that's been monopolizing my time this week in the evenings has been the Jeopardy Greatest of All Time tournament. And no spoilers, and probably by the time anyone hears the show, they will all be caught up in this week. But after three matches, mm-hmm. the score stands: Brad Rutter 0, James Holzhauer 1, and Ken Jennings.
All the rest.
All the rest to Ken Jennings with 2 matches. So
okay.
Yesterday, and this is going to endanger our family friendly rating. Yesterday, after the show had aired in most of the country, if not all the country, I imagine contractually the guys are not allowed to talk about stuff until it airs on the West Coast. James Holzhauer, verified account James Holzhauer, tweeted, "My wife is going to make me role play as Ken Jennings tonight."
That's cute. I like it.
Jennings, within 20 or 30 minutes, replied, quote, "It's all about the timing on the button," unquote.
No.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes.
This ties in nicely with last week's tap dancing on the explicit tag. Not last week. Last episode.
Last episode. That's right.
Yes.
I saw this, and then Time Magazine television critic James Poniewozik replied simply, "Oh my God." And I mean, broke my little corner of the internet for quite a while. I could not stop laughing.
Oh, I can't deal. Oh my goodness.
It was amazing. It was the nerdiest, dirtiest thing.
Oh.
It was fantastic.
And that line...
It just, if, yeah.
It's an art. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, like when you go to a restaurant and everybody has like the go-to thing that they order at a restaurant, like this is my test of whether or not you're any good.
Right.
Like this is that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The nerdy dirty line is an interesting place, and it's very easy to go terribly, terribly wrong and be not funny.
It could have easily gone very sideways. And this was after the episode that aired, the match that aired, where it was, the situation was that Jennings was sufficiently far ahead. It's a two-game match. So he was sufficiently far ahead heading into Final Jeopardy, the second game, that it was not possible for anyone to catch him. Mm-hmm. So the two other competitors did joke Final Jeopardy answers because it didn't matter. There was no money at stake. One of them seeing Ken Jennings, SL Hombre. And the other one was, who is the greatest game show host of all time? You know, the greatest game show host of all time, wrote Alex Trebek, but above it wrote Pat Sajak and crossed it out.
After
those two responses, Trebek said, "Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching the Jeopardy Comedy Hour." And Ken Jennings, when it was his turn to show his Final Jeopardy answer, said, "I think I should take this moment to do my tight 5 minutes on airplane food," which was fantastic.
Wow.
So good. Like, you should go back and watch, it's dramatic, it's entertaining, it's this mano a mano competition. They're so fast, they're so good, and they're extremely funny. Yeah. Anyway, that's been my week. How is your week? What's been going on in your world, Kelly G?
Goodness. Let's see, what has been going on? I'm trying to think what I've even been up to lately.
How was your New Year's? We've not spoken since the holidays, before New the holidays.
My New Year was super boring because Mr. Kelly, I didn't really care that much. I told someone the other day that, like, I personally stayed up until midnight because I just wanted to make sure I saw the back of 2019 and I wanted to be certain it was gone.
Like the Revenant, or like,
yes, I just
make sure the bear is dead.
Yes, like, you know, in horror movies when they're like, oh, he must be dead, you know, and then like right before the credits you see the twitching. Yeah. So I just really needed to make sure that it had gone. And by the way, I'm going to derail briefly and with my This Is 2020. They got on Anderson Cooper on CNN.
Yes.
Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen, they got Sherry O'Terry, who used to be on Saturday Night Live and do Barbara Walters, to roll up as Barbara Walters.
And say, this is 2020.
Because not just that, though.
Yeah.
But the free world basically wanted her to get to do the ball drop so that she could say, this is 2020.
Right.
And so she came out and she went like full weird reality show Barbara Walters. It was beautiful. And like, you watch Anderson Cooper slowly lose it as she just keeps going.
Yes.
And like, she finds like, oh, this is the flavor of weird that is melting your brain. I'm going to just stand here in it and just keep going. Oh my, it is spectacular to just completely watch him lose his mind. It's so funny.
It's like trying to find the spot in the barbershop or the beauty parlor where you have the infinite regress reflection, and you have to get your head positioned just right between the two mirrors to create that effect. That's what she was doing. She was tuning it.
Yes.
Absolutely tuning the material.
And, like, it was delightful to watch beginning to end because she was very funny, but also because it had this whole other layer of like watching Anderson Cooper lose his fool mind, and it was fantastic. So I did watch that. That was very fun. Mr. Kelly's job requirements. So his old job that he used to have, they had fiscal year end at the end of April, I think it was.
Okay.
And at the current job, it's calendar year. So that means December 31st is the end of their fiscal year. So in order to do all the stuff they had to do for year end, it had something to do with like the manufacturing situation. And so He ended up having to basically like get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go run a bunch of processes for financial stuff. Yeah. Oof. Because they had to have enough stuff done so that then everything was ready when the manufacturing folks came in and started manufacturing, mm-hmm. so that they were all in 2020 and everything had been done the way it needed to be. So, we didn't get to do much for New Year's.
I can imagine.
This year.
No.
Which honestly was fine. Like this year was super low key as far as like the holidays and everything. We did go visit my family in the wilds of Eastern Oregon and mm-hmm. the slightly less wild Eastern Washington. So we went and spent some time with my dad, and we went and spent some time with my mom. And they live in different places for people playing along at home who are confused about why it took two stops to see my parents. Because I have extra parents. They're all remarried.
Bonus
Everything's
parents.
Fine. Yeah, bonus
yes.
parents. Got to go visit everybody. Do, you know, just sort of hang out. And had a pretty good time. And Mr. Kelly's birthday is right after Christmas. So we had his birthday, went out for dinner, that kind of stuff. It was a lot of fun. So like it was very nice to not be caught up in everything because we've sort of been conditioning people to basically stop buying presents
mm-hmm.
because like everybody has enough stuff and we're at the point in our lives where like, and I know my parents are because my parents have been saying this forever, just don't get us anything. You know, mm-hmm. we don't need anything. We don't want mm-hmm. anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're that way. Like, if I want something badly enough, I'm going to go out and buy it. So if you want to, like, you know, instead of buying me something that you think I might want and sort of hoping, like, yeah. you know, let's be specific. So we mostly, like, we went out to dinner and we went and visited my family, spent time with them. And that was actually way better than... Did we get everything wrapped and, you know, is it all in boxes? Did we mail all the stuff to the people? You know, it was mm-hmm. a lot nicer to not have a lot of that stress. So like the Christmas budget was a lot smaller this year. Everybody was a lot happier because like nobody had to put on a fake smile and be really excited about a thing to dust. You know?
Oh, thank you. I never would have gotten this for myself ever.
Yeah.
Under
and
any
there's
circumstances.
A reason. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we were outside the country during the holiday break. We left on December 21st and came back, most of us came back on the 30th. And that meant that we were traveling for Hanukkah, which would be the gift giving opportunity of my people. And I did not have the usual trying to get eight presents or figuring out eight presents. We gave the children each a present, and then we gave and Heidi brought presents for a bunch of other people. But it was not like the every night here's a present thing,
mm-hmm.
and it was so relaxing.
Yeah.
It's just like so much less of the sense of like soul gripping crisis. Oh, what did I get? What did I not get? What have I done? So that was quite nice as a little bit of a break. I did. The big present this year from me to spouse, because we wrapped up, we had a bunch of stuff this year. Of course, we had birthdays, as we do every year, but we also had an anniversary, a round number anniversary.
Oh.
In July. And possibly have mentioned this on the show, possibly not. There is an artist in Brooklyn, a guy named Jonathan Blum, I think I have mentioned this, who is great. Great guy, great artist, very talented, wonderful portraitist, very imaginative portraitist. And one of the things that he paints portraits of, either in reality or in fantasy, is rabbis. That's what he's known for. He's like
what?
The rabbi painter. Yeah, that's his shtick. And
talk about a niche.
I know it's quite a niche. And so when and Heidi for a long time, because she is my wife is the rabbi of a synagogue, it is not unheard of for a portrait of the rabbi to be, you know, to be displayed at a synagogue. Like sometimes it's after they retire, sometimes it's before. Could be a painting, could be a photograph. And she said, oh, you know, it'd be really great if my official portrait was Jonathan Blum. And for years she talked about it. And finally I was like, you know what? Screw it. So I emailed him and I commissioned the portrait for our anniversary. So that was the anniversary present. But also the birthday present, the Hanukkah present, the all the things present.
Oh yeah.
You know, it was a noticeable investment, but it's the kind of thing. It's like, how often do you get a portrait, you know, a professional portrait painted of someone that you love? And it was neat.
Painted. How many people get professional portraits, like photography, you know, as a photograph? Yeah,
And it turned out, it's amazing. It's incredible, incredible work. And I mean, I could share a photograph in the show notes, but, the thing about it is so textured and there's so much depth. It's painted. There's a collage underneath the painting. The painting is on top of a collage. So there's incredible amounts of relief and depth. And it is not possible to get the experience of it from a photograph. You actually have to see it in person. So, it was a pretty big to do. And now it hangs at the temple, although, you know, I don't notice it anymore because it's hanging there. I see it every day, or every time I'm there, not every day. But every now and then somebody walks through the lobby and's like, wait a minute, is that the rabbi? I'm like, yes, it is. Anyway, that was the big gift. That was not something that could be transported with us on our trip, nor was it necessary to do so. but she's still there. So I came back with the children. She is still there. I did not succeed in my plan that we discussed of me taking advantage of my pre-jet lag process to go see a 5 a.m. showing of TRS. I did not make it happen. So, yeah. But I did use the Time Shifter app, and I did get a lot of value out of that for anybody who's flying a major jet lag operation. Time Shifter in the App Store. Really worth a look. It's going to give you a personalized program of light exposure, when to drink coffee, when not to drink coffee, when to try to nap, when to wear sunglasses, when to take a melatonin and go to sleep. So it did help me and get adjusted in both directions. And I recommend it. It's worth a shot. Time Shifter in the App Store. We'll put that in the links for the show.
Yes.
So I was disconnected. I came back to the New Year's festivities and then, you know, sort of straight back into work and school, and just now sort of coming up for air.
Yeah.
It feels like I now know what day it is. Did you have the problem during the holidays? Like you reach a point where you don't actually know what day of the week it is.
Oh, absolutely. Because it was Wednesday. And so Monday and Tuesday were a disaster area for most people productivity wise. And then, you know, nobody wants to do anything after. And then it was just a mess. A friend of mine, Anthony Johnston, said it was Crimbo Limbo. He said a friend of his said Crimbo Limbo. And I was like, oh, that's good. And then I posted that on Twitter. And somebody else replied and said, my friend calls it Betwixtmas. I'm like, oh,
that's it. Yes. That's really it.
I like that too. Yeah. Crimbo Limbo, also really fun to say, so I did enjoy that, but it's a little region locked if you refer to it as Crimbo here. I think people sometimes look at you funny. So Betwixtmas was pretty great. There was a point where I was like, I don't remember. I was trying to make a plan with somebody, and they were like, well, do you want to do it tomorrow? And I was like, is tomorrow Saturday or something? And they're like, I don't know, but do you want to do it tomorrow? Okay. You know,
I mean, it could be. Do you want it to be Saturday?
It might be Saturday.
Is that a thing?
I don't know
anymore.
To you?
Yeah. Hey. Well, it was a long December, and there's reason to believe that maybe this year will be better than the last.
I see what you did there. Just
you see what
just
I did
so
there?
We're clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yes.
That was actually my favorite thing that was trending over the break was people quoting that song, because I'm a big fan of that song, and I thought it was appropriately and well done.
Okay, I need to take one moment and again slightly derail, and that is for the Earth, Wind, and Fire song, September.
Yes.
And it is this weird corner of the internet that, like, freaks out on September 21st, right? and I am here for it. Every time, because there was like it all started a few years ago. There was a guy who posted a video on Twitter, and it was just the beginning of the song, and you just see this dude like bobbing his head, right? And you just see like just his head, And like you kind of see his hands like just below the frame, you know, do you remember? Yeah. And so like the on his shirt, it says like the 21st night of September. And then he turns around and the back of his shirt says, it's today. And that's the whole thing. And it's just him going, do you, and you just hear like that, you hear the song as he's bobbing his head and then he turns around and it says, it's today. And every year his video celebrating this song gets bigger and he builds a little more and there's a little more stuff and it's a little crazier. The one for this year involved a mariachi situation. I cannot express how happy, because like the internet can be a really rough place, and I mean all of it as a whole, like not just Twitter, not just Facebook, not just Snapchat, or you know, whatever the crap, you know, other social media platforms are out there. Like you spend time on the news, you know, you listen to the news, and you know, you get your news online and the news is kind of terrible, and like, you know, you know, when your idea of a good time is watching a show about Chernobyl, that should tell you everything you need to know about 2019, right?
In retrospect, that should have been a sign. That was a cry for help.
Right.
It's like everybody, oh, this show about an
nuclear
ecological
meltdown.
Nuclear disaster in the Russian countryside
is escapism.
Is the best thing on television. What? Really? And I mean, you know, respect for Craig Mazin and the team that put that show together.
Oh,
yeah.
It was a spectacular program, but I just think nobody stopped and paid attention to the sentence, I'm watching a show about a nuclear meltdown as escapism. And, you know, like, no, you know, when I'm at, you know, at the end of a long and weary week, I'm watching a show about Chernobyl. Like, nobody really thought that through. But the thing so like the internet can be bad, and there's this corner of the internet that absolutely loves September 21st for this song. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, and I don't care, and it's just the best thing. And I will make sure we have a link in the show notes to the guy, and I think he posts like one video a year, and it's this video, and it's so good. And I like, it's one of those small things that on the internet that makes me very happy. Like you were talking about Long December. It's one of those things that I'm always like this year, I think I might have even said to Mr. Kelly, do you know what tomorrow is? Yeah. The 21st. Well, yeah, it'll be the 21st day of September. But then do you know what's after that? The 21st night of September. He's like, so? I'm like,
could you please join me in my tiny subculture? Please.
Right? Oh,
would you
mind? Also, so we have two hanging lights over the bar, and there's a mirror behind the bar. Uh-huh. So one time I pointed over and I looked at him and I went, there are four lights! And he didn't care. Like,
oh my God.
And I looked at him and I'm like, you know, eh? And he just sat there and he was like, I have no idea what's going on, random loud person, you know. And I'm like,
why are you
and
shouting
I'm like,
about
there
lights?
Are four lights? And he's like, okay. I'm like, oh, it's a good thing you're cute.
Yeah. Daniel, really, seriously, I can trade you in for some Quatloos.
I know.
Sell you off for Gold Press Latinum.
Right? Yeah, I was, yeah.
So, speaking of the Star Trek universe, here in New York, we had a show on the Broadway for a limited run, which was Harry Connick Jr. Doing a concert performance, and was apparently great. A friend of mine worked on the show, but I was struck by the posters, and I'll have to see if I can try to track one down. I swear to you, it was Harry Connick Jr. is young Will Riker in the Young Will Riker Chronicles. It was crazy. He looked so much like Jonathan Frakes. It was insane.
I just looked up Harry Connick Jr. Broadway, and holy cow.
Am I right? I'm right. It's kind of crazy.
Oh my God. Is it season 3? When the beard shows up?
It's season 2 when the beard shows
up. Season 2 when the beard shows up. Okay.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's obviously,
I can't remember if it was the beginning or end, but yeah.
It's pre-beard, but it's like, yeah, but he could be like 5 years earlier than that.
Yes! Oh my God.
Yeah,
Yeah.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? I saw it and I thought, I need to take a picture of this and need to share it with the internet, and I never did. And I was like, who will appreciate the weirdness of this?
No, you know
what
it
is? The answer is, of course, you. But me. Yeah.
It's the smile. There's a couple where he's not smiling and it's less that, but there's a couple of pictures of him where he is smiling, and yes, as soon as he smiles, it's 100%. Yeah.
It's like, yep, I've got shore leave on Risa, young Will
yes,
Riker.
That's
smile.
That's exactly who it is. Yes. Precisely.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for validating. I've been carrying this around for like more than a month. Yes, it's the Songs of Cole Porter.
It's the Songs of Cole Porter. Oh, that, I bet that's fun.
I wish I had the chance to see it. There's so many things happening here in the New York situation. This weekend is the last weekend for Freestyle Love Supreme, which is the improvised hip-hop freestyling show and MC show, which I did get a chance to see. It was wonderful, but I wanted to take the children to see it again, and I did not get to do that. It is, we only have another couple months of David Byrne's show, American Utopia.
Oh, yeah.
There is an off-Broadway Little Shop of Horrors, which is fantastic. Company is coming, the UK production of Company, which has Patti LuPone and Katrina Lenk. And like, there's all, it's like, yeah, it's crazy.
I would watch Patti LuPone read the phone book.
Wouldn't that be amazing? It should be like Adams. Anderson.
Be fantastic. It would make me so happy.
Alan. Yeah, I can't.
Oh my goodness.
I can't. Yes, she, I mean, she's, I actually inadvertently found myself briefly watching last night a snippet of the Sweeney Todd in concert with her and George Hearn as Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney. And there was no particular reason for this, except that when I landed on YouTube to go find something else, the first video in my suggested was Raul Esparza singing "Being Alive" from Company in some production, which was fantastic. And then the next thing that popped up, of course, after that was Sweeney Todd in concert, and I clicked it, and I had apparently been watching it because it was right at the end of Epiphany, which is the big, you know, I'm going to kill everybody song.
Yeah.
And right after that is when Mrs. Lovett says, well, that's all fine, but what are we going to do with the Italian? And and then she comes up with the suggestion of they're going to make him into a meat pie. And it's that scene, that little bit between her and her, and she's like, with the price of meat, when you get it, if you get it, now you've got it, you know, and it's very Patti LuPone. So she's coming back to Broadway. This is all I'm saying. And we can, in fact, watch her read the phone book if we want to.
That is spectacular.
Thank you for joining us on Theater Talk, the podcast. So, like, there's some technology-ish news probably that we should be talking about.
Is there? Because I'm down a rabbit hole looking for looking for another person who I would listen to read the phone book, and that's Frances Barber.
Interesting.
So, yeah. She's another one of those, like, she's got a voice that says she's seen some stuff. and I really like it. And she was in the Pet Shop Boys had a musical called Closer to Heaven, and she played one of the characters in that musical, and she sang a song called Friendly Fire, and I will make sure we have a link to that in the show notes. And it is, it's a song that I really like, and I liked the Pet Shop Boys version of it before they adapted it for the show, and it's really great to listen to her sing that song.
There's been a very strong buzzing, and all that I can hear is the Pet Shop Boys had a musical.
Did you? Okay, hello and welcome to the Pet Shop Boys podcast. because apparently I get to take Mike to Pet Shop Boys school. So the Pet Shop Boys are still making records for people who don't know this.
Which is insane.
And they go on tour and they are spectacularly successful in the rest of the world. The U.S. could take them or leave them. And I don't understand it. They've been to Portland. They've been to Portland, and every time they've come to Portland in the last like 15 years or something, I've seen them. It's like two times.
But it's like the part of the American musical taste that would be occupied by the Pet Shop Boys is like carved up between Frankie Goes to Hollywood and, you know, Go West and Morrissey and.
Nobody talks about Morrissey anymore. Oh, we don't like Racist Grandpa.
We don't like Racist Grandpa, who looks like Bruce Campbell. But by the way, that's another one. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
The other band I was thinking of was Tears for Fears. Owns a chunk
they
of that.
They are popular here. But also, like, I think it's because a lot of people sort of age out of disco music. Even though they won't, like, people say they aged out of disco music, but nobody really ages out of disco
music.
Nobody
should.
If you don't believe me, go put on New York City Boy by the Pet Shop Boys and bob your head, because they said, basically, we set out to write a Village People song, and they absolutely wrote a Village People song. Twice in my life, I got on a plane to go to a concert, and once was George Michael at the Los Angeles Forum on his 40th birthday.
Damn.
And the other time was the Pet Shop Boys at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas on Halloween of 1999.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Twice in my life, I got on a plane to go to a show, and it was those two. Now, that doesn't mean I haven't gotten in cars and gone to extraordinary lengths to go to concerts. Like, I saw David Bowie, and I can't even, like, to this day, I can't even believe I was in the same arena as David Bowie ever in my life. And yes, I was there. But yeah.
I mean, first of all, like, legit impressed. Halloween 99 Las Vegas Hard Rock, that is a destination that is worthy.
Boy,
of that band.
Was it.
I can imagine.
So before the show, let me tell you, before the show we went to dinner, and it was a buffet.
Really?
I know you're shocked.
How unusual.
We found the buffet in Las Vegas.
You found the one?
The one.
It's so hard to find.
And so we're sitting there, each of us trying to eat our weight in peel and eat shrimp. And this couple walks by, and the dude is wearing like a very wide brimmed hat with, you know, like faux fur trim on it. Mm-hmm. And a jacket with the same trim and very wide lapels, and a shirt, and the shirt's open basically to his navel, and bell-bottomed pants with, you know, the accompanying, like, it's a whole suit that's like this bright color with this faux fur trim. Mm-hmm. And the girl that's with him is wearing next to nothing, and it looks very much as though the relationship between them is that he rents her by the hour to other people. And so we kind of looked at it and went, there must be a Halloween party here somewhere in this hotel. And that's a pretty easy couple's costume in Las Vegas. Ha ha. So we chuckle about it and we go back to our shrimp. And then another iteration of the same costume goes by.
I think I remember this story
the
now.
The four Oregonians at the table went, well, that's going to be awkward.
I love the fact that you guys are like the Oregonian red carpet police. Well, that's gonna be a problem.
We're just sort of watching them. Like, we can see the traffic through the lobby, and so we just see these people walk by, and I'm like, well, that's gonna be embarrassing if it's the same party, and, you know, ha ha. And then, like, variations on a theme just keep walking by. Mm-hmm. And there, and like, we see Adam and Eve at one point, and we see like all these, but, you know, like, they were interesting, but like most of them are like, you know, yeah, a dude in a bell-bottom suit who's very much Huggy Bear, you know. Mm-hmm. And his special lady friend. And so at the end of the night, we catch a cab and we're headed back to our hotel, and we're all dressed up. And so the guy goes, where y'all been tonight? And we're like, we were at a concert. And he was like, oh, because, you know, anyway, what came out was he said he'd been running around all night, driving people there and letting them off to go to what is apparently called the Pimp and Ho Ball, which in Halloween 1999 was hosted by Vern Troyer, a.k.a. Mini-Me.
Wow.
And so we all kind of looked at each other and went, That explains so much of our evening.
I just there was context that was missing, and now it has arrived. We understand things we did not understand before.
Because then with it was.
I'm actually going to be in Las Vegas in the President's Day week and the week of February 18th.
Oh, okay.
And so I will keep my eyes peeled for a reprise of the ball.
I have a feeling that's probably going to happen on Halloween far more likely than
so.
Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be on Valentine's Day?
Okay, that's a valid question.
Why not? But tell me about the rabbits, George. Tell me about the musical. The Pet Shop Boys musical? What's the deal?
Yes. So the Pet Shop Boys have a musical. They teamed up with this fellow, Jonathan Harvey. It actually was the thing they were working on, right? Like, they were working on it as I saw them, apparently, because it premiered in May of 2001.
Okay.
And I don't know that it was particularly well received. I'm sure people went and saw it because it was the Pet Shop Boys, and there are people who would go watch Neil and Chris read the phone book. I know this because I'm one of those people.
I just have to interject. This is now the third time we've used the phrase in the show, I would watch them read the phone book.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping in mind, the phone book is not a thing anymore, really.
Oh, I know.
this is a reference that is in itself dated.
Yes.
That is approximately Pet Shop Boys vintage. Anyway, Neil and Chris.
That too. Yes.
The musical they worked on with Jonathan Harvey.
Yes.
And go ahead.
And well, so the narrator of the story is this retired rock star, and her name is Billie mm-hmm. Trix, and she's played by Frances Barber. And if you are a slightly different flavor of nerd, which I also am, you will know her as the woman who wears the thing over her eye and keeps Amy on Demon's Run in Doctor Who. Let me look up what her name was, because I think we actually found that out. There's the season where we find out that Amy has actually been sort of held captive at Demon's Run, and we end up there at one point. And I'm trying to see if I can find her name, because I don't remember if we ever actually heard it or not. Because that's also Frances Barber, so... Let's just search the TARDIS Wikia for Frances Barber, and I bet I will find her. So anyway, she's got this sort of gravelly voice, and it's sort of interesting to listen to her because, like I said, she's got this very interesting voice. And so she plays like the narrator of this musical called Closer to Heaven. And there's a couple of songs in there that I think are very entertaining. And then Closer to Heaven is a song that's in the musical. It's that's actually a Pet Shop Boys song. Like, you can find it on another Pet Shop Boys record, just like Positive Role Model is another one, and In Denial, and I think Shameless is also in the show. But they did write some things that were particular to the musical, and I have the cast album somewhere, and there's a song called Friendly Fire that she sings that I think is fantastic. So yeah, Pet Shop Boys musical. Wow. It's called Closer to Heaven. They also have done a couple of scores. They did the score to a ballet, and wow, they resurrected the score to a film called Battleship Potemkin, which is just like this, if the Pet Shop Boys did a film score thing. Like,
it's a very famous, that's a very, very famous film, Battleship Potemkin.
Yeah.
So,
and
wow.
So yeah, so all that's right, that's what they're up to the rest of the time.
I have fallen into this particular Pet Shop Boys. I was going to say K-hole, because that's one of the songs from the album, but I'm not going to.
It's entirely possible you could, though. Yeah. So
wow.
Yeah.
So this is, well, now it is my objective to find a video of the Pet Shop Boys musical Closer to Heaven from 2001, or from a later production. There's apparently a couple productions that have been put up in Australia since then, and
mm-hmm.
off the West End. Tempting. Interesting. But since we were talking about Las Vegas, it should be mentioned that CES was and is this past week, or was this past week.
Yes. Oh, before we get there, I just found her name, and it's Madame Kavarian.
Madame Kavarian?
Yes, on Doctor Who.
Oh, that's the character.
Yes, okay. She's played by, that's the character that's played by Frances Barber, and we see her in A Good Man Goes to War. What's the one after that? I can't remember the one after that. And then The Wedding of River Song. You see her in those, and she's the woman that you see sort of appear in the window and then leave again. She's a pretty interesting character in that particular stretch of Doctor Who. So anyway,
interesting.
Madame Kavarian. Yeah,
Madame Kavarian.
CES.
So rollable TVs were a big thing. But Apple actually did make a return to CES.
Yes.
Not pitching products, not talking about new stuff, but actually as part of a chief privacy officer roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
There's always wacky stuff at CES, but one thing that I thought was interesting is that LG TVs are getting the Apple TV as an app.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I'm not sure if it's the first TV manufacturer that's directly incorporating Apple TV.
I don't think so, because I want to say the first one was Samsung, which will never not be funny to me.
It is pretty funny. Samsung, you mean the company that stole the Face ID icon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Among other things.
Yeah. So weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to me that now the hardware is a little bit less important on the Apple TV than having a place to sell Apple TV Plus and the programming.
Okay. Speaking of,
yes,
the fact that we have been podcasting for as long as we've been podcasting.
Yes.
Remember when we used to talk about Apple TV and I used to say Apple's never going to make a television. I'm really sorry, Philip Elmer DeWitt. But
well, it wasn't Phil. It was his name? It was Gene Munster.
Gene Munster. I apologize, Philip.
Gene
Munster. Yes,
Apple's never gonna make a TV.
And remember, I always said they're never gonna make a television. What they're gonna do is make a deal, and they're gonna put a dent in the back of the TV so that and let you control your Apple TV with the same remote as controls your television. They're just gonna make it really easy for you to just kind of hook it on the back there and let it hang out. This is basically that. So as soon as I saw that they were making deals where you could get TV Plus on something that was not an Apple TV, I basically was like, I win. I was right. Now everyone has to listen to me forever. That's how it works, right?
That is usually how it works. It's true. I think you've correctly described the circumstances, the rules. I mean, I think the idea of, I mean, the smart TV functionality has gotten so spread out, and in fact I think I get better performance out of the embedded smart TV app within my Vizio TV than I get from my physical Amazon Fire TV box, which has just grown quirkier by the week. It's interesting to me that we're slowly working towards the invisibility of the set-top box or of the over-the-top box, because who cares? Like, mm-hmm. really, truly, who cares? The application, or more specifically, the content is relevant. There's now, I know we've talked about this, Pluto TV. Have you seen this app and this website?
No.
Maybe not. Maybe we haven't mentioned it. So Pluto TV, Pluto.tv, is live streamed channels. It's like a cable subscription. It's, like the weird, it's, you know what it is? It's like if you were walking down the street in a city and you're checking out the restaurants, but the restaurants were all like the restaurants in airports, where they're not exactly the real franchise or the real chain or the real restaurant, but they're similar.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a little off. That's Pluto TV, because it's a lot of the same content and programming you expect, but it's just like not, it's not quite that. It's free to stream. There's a lot of very good content on it, and there's also channels that are, you know, just Mystery Science Theater 3000 24 hours a day. And there's channels that are just Dog the Bounty Hunter 24 hours a day, or MTV Cribs 24 hours a day. There's a channel that's Leverage, the TV show Leverage, 24/7.
Ooh, I like that show. That's a really good show.
It's By a the way, really good show.
They filmed it almost the whole time here, even before they said that they moved here.
Yeah, the Boston was actually Portland. Yeah.
So there's a point where they're like at the Boston airport, and it's really the convention center in Portland.
Drives me crazy.
Which is, it's hilarious to me. So,
yes, what?
Yeah.
It's always funny to the people who are like who are the real location, and the people at the pretend location are like, that ain't right.
Yeah.
That's wicked stupid.
at least they gave up and finally moved here and lived above a microbrewery and all of that. And I was like, yeah, it checks out.
That, yeah, you can't argue with it. Actually, we were briefly watching the episode last night where Elliot becomes a country singer, and once again, reminded of the fact that of all the actors, the principals on that show, the one who actually can do most of the things his character can do is Christian Kane.
Mm-hmm.
He actually sings and plays guitar. He's actually an accomplished chef.
Yep.
And he actually is a martial artist, and he does all his own fight scenes and stunts. And you're like, oh, he's not really playing anybody. He's just sort of doing his thing.
Yeah.
So he sings and plays guitar, and he sang and played guitar, and yeah, very, very talented man. Anyway, so there's all these live streaming channels, there's all these sports channels, there's all these slow TV channels and weird High Times channel, and you know, it's just very strange. And you think to yourself, why? But it is an app, and it's now it's actually on my TV. It's its own input. It counts as its own channel, as its own source. It doesn't, of course, take away any of the physical sources, but it is a switchable source in the rondelet of sources. Along with, by the way, AirPlay is also a switchable source on my TV now. These are new. These have been upgraded or added in over time.
Interesting.
So the fact that Pluto TV is there, it is fascinating. It is like another sort of, it's very different from the Netflix experience or the Amazon Prime experience or the Apple TV Plus experience or the Disney Plus experience, in that as opposed to I'm going to go find what it is I would like to binge or watch or consume, it is let me see what's on. And it is literally the same program guide style interface that you would get from your cable subscription. So it's let me see what's on. Oh, which episode of Dog the Bounty Hunter is it right now?
Wow.
Let me go check that out. It is fascinating. And it's I really want to know the story behind. I've yet to read the sort of the origin story of Pluto.tv, but I really am curious about it. Cuz I'm like, this is so weird and yet so familiar. And worth checking out. It's free. What's the harm? So Pluto.tv, part of the problem with it is I always think that I've told people about it, and then they're like, I don't have no idea what you're talking about. It's like, really? How can you not know about this? Because it's so weird. I think there's a Bob Ross channel. I hope there's a Bob Ross channel.
There has to be a Bob Ross channel.
So there is a Bob Ross channel on Twitch, of all places.
Really?
Yes, there is a Bob Ross streaming channel on Twitch, but I believe there's also a Bob Ross channel on Pluto.tv. I will have to double check.
I think you can get Bob Ross also on a streaming service. I don't remember if it's like Prime Video or something, but somebody's got them.
Prime has some of them. Netflix has some of them.
Oh, okay.
But the nice thing about the Twitch one is that you just turn it on, mm-hmm. and it's there. The tyranny of choice of do I want to watch Winter Cabin, or would I prefer to see Furs with Stream? Like, no, I do not care. I really don't. What I want to do is I want some Bob Ross so I can fall asleep. That's what I'm looking for here. And exactly which one it is, I don't care.
Can I talk to you for a minute about listening to Sun to Go to Sleep?
And then I'll talk to you about listening to Something to Go to Sleep that is different than Bob Ross. Go ahead.
Well, mine isn't Bob Ross either.
Okay. Wow. So what? What? There are two things that aren't Bob Ross that put people to sleep?
This is madness. Intended. This is intended. So
okay.
There's an app that like everybody knows about that's called Calm, and it's for like meditation and things. But they also have this whole section that's sleep stories.
Yes.
And
so creepy.
I don't know anything about them because I don't subscribe to the app or anything, but I did at one point find out that they had sort of released some of these like on YouTube where you can just go get, you know, because it's very, you know, first one's free, wink wink, nudge nudge. So I went and downloaded two of them. So Jerome Flynn, who played Bronn on Game of Thrones, he does one about New Zealand, I think, because he's done a lot of traveling. So he sits down and tells a story about going to New Zealand. But the money in this is they got Stephen Fry to do a sleep story. And Stephen Fry talks to you about lavender fields in France.
Ugh.
And it is a cast iron skillet to the head.
Wait a minute. This is a Looney Tunes sleep story?
No.
Tom and Jerry sleep story?
He starts telling you about, I've never heard the end of this. I don't know if I've ever made it to the middle. I just lay there and I listen to him talk to me about lavender fields in France. And I'm out. And like, it's so good. And yes, have I heard the first 5 minutes of it like many, many times? Yes. Does it still work every time? Yes. It's so good. And you can I've heard that there are utilities you can use to download just the audio from a YouTube video.
What? And the deuce, you say?
And if that were possible, then you could presumably find a way to put that audio onto your pocket communicator, and then you would have it on demand, and it's the best thing.
What the dickens?
Yes.
So that is quite something. There's similar functionality in Headspace with sleep stories. Headspace also has a free sleep exercise that you can get on your Amazon A-Lady device. A-Lady. read by Jerry Lewis.
Okay. No, I have to tell you they've been talking about.
Yes.
I don't mean funny ha-ha. I mean funny ho-ho. which is the deepest Animaniacs cut, but there you go. You distracted me with Jerry Lewis. So CES, they've been like covering it on the news, and they've been saying the name of the assistant that Amazon makes instead of talking about Echo devices, and I'm like, stop it. Like, I didn't realize how ingrained in me it was not to say it unless I am invoking her, until like I hear somebody on the news talking about, and now your shower head can have a and I'm like, no! Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, lady.
So yes.
I don't know why not until this time talking about it with S lady and G lady, and we finally got to A lady. I don't know why it took so long. I'm sorry to all our listeners that we didn't get to this.
Probably did at some point. I just don't know that I did it in the middle of a show.
Oh my gosh. So what I was going to say is, yes, there's this wonderful sleep relaxation exercise via Headspace.
Nice.
on A-Lady. So you can say, A-Lady, play Headspace for sleep, and she will give you the 10-minute exercise, which is lovely. Nice. However, on also available via Twitch is a live stream of Endel, ENDEL, which mm-hmm. is also an app. So and so this is generated, you know, binaural beats, energetic sounds. And the app itself is a subscription, and I have been trialing it for a bit, and I actually quite like it. It's based on, you know, time of day and how active you are and how much sunlight you're getting, so it tunes it. And I actually, it has helped with concentration and other things. It's worth checking out. But if what you want it for is the, I need to chill out and go to sleep, you can get the free stream on Twitch. So if you search for Endel Insomnia on Twitch, or just go to Endel. I don't know if it's Endel.io. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was what I was going to mention, was the Endel app that I've been working with it. It's pretty interesting. The other thing I was going to mention or call back to is that on the last show, I hinted, alluded, mentioned, nudged in the direction of the fact that I was going to have hopefully another amazing podcast experience on a different podcast. So that is not happening. However, I'm still going to see the taping of that podcast. I was going to hopefully be on it. That is not happening due to circumstances. But the podcast is the illustrious and amazing Judge John Hodgman.
Oh, nice.
Which is recording on Monday night here in Brooklyn at Murmur, one of our wonderful local venues. And I had applied to have my case adjudicated by the judge. But because the case involved my minor child, who is 15, they no longer will put children on the show. They had done it in the past, but they won't put children on the show anymore, and certainly not the live show. So not going to be on the show, but I will be at the show. If you are also attending, if you among our listeners are also attending the Judge John Hodgman show, please come up in Brooklyn. Please come up and say hi. I will be wearing, I hope, if I can find it, my obscure cultural reference Loblaw no brand, no name t-shirt, which is a piece of very obscure hybrid Canadian Judge John Hodgman swag that I'm really, really excited. I'm unreasonably excited about wearing it, so I really do have to find it. Yeah. That was what I wanted to make sure I looped back on. That's basically it. I don't have my spouse is still overseas and is not going to be back for another week. So I don't know what to do with myself. But I'm glad that we're actually catching up and recording a show because it's been too long.
Well, let me point out, because I got an email about this today from StarWars.com. Did you know that you can go see Rise of Skywalker in a theater?
It really?
Seriously.
Is that a thing?
Right? I'm like, seriously. Do you think if I actively signed up for StarWars.com to send me news that I don't already know? Anyway.
But I clearly don't, because I haven't managed to do it yet.
Oh, no, so. You know. You haven't. But you know it's a thing that you could be doing. So
it is.
Here's what you need to do. If you have not watched all of The Mandalorian, you need to do it.
I am one episode into The Mandalorian.
One. Oh, I'm so excited for you.
I will watch another one this
because
evening.
I know about the journey that's ahead, and I'm very excited for you. I'm not grumpy that it took you this long. I'm really excited because it was so much fun. I enjoy it very much. I'm pretty sure you will too.
I probably will.
You should. and I'm here for you if you need to text me about a thing. I'm here for that. Yeah, I really, really did like The Mandalorian. And you should definitely carve out some time and go see Rise of Skywalker.
I may be able to find time for that this very weekend.
To be fair, I might be extra insulted by the StarWars.com email because I went twice to see it opening weekend in costume. So that might be why I'm like, you don't say.
It's like you got to know your customer a little bit better.
In a costume that I built. Like let's talk about I made my costume. We
from the skins of actual Tatooine Wolverines. The Tatooine Wolverines. That's the college team. It's the college mascot.
I need a t-shirt of that now.
The Tatooine
Wolverines.
Property of Tatooine Wolverines Athletic Department.
Hello and welcome to the show title. We're an hour in, kids. I'm really excited for you to get to see it. But yes, I did build my own costume, and we went to a theater that had a party. Mm-hmm. A Star Wars party. Everyone who was work. It's one of those that's the theater that also has the restaurant and the bar in the front, and then there's like theaters. So each of the theaters is the rest of the time is themed like a particular city. So there's like Tokyo and Paris and London and Beijing, and you get to go to each of these different theaters. And so and the reason that I can say they're themed after different cities is because they have a particular decor style in the theater itself, and each theater itself only has like maybe 15 seats, maybe 20 seats, and like the back row of seats is just a big bunch of recliners, and then the rest of them are like couches and very comfy chairs and all these things. So it's a super super awesome theater, and they've got these giant screens on each of the walls, and those screens are set up as windows, so you are looking out on the Eiffel Tower. You are looking out on Big Ben. You are looking out on, I can't think of a landmark in Tokyo. And so you're looking out onto these cities. And they got someone to design Star Wars landscapes to go in each of those. And so we walk in the theater, and you look at the window, and out the window is Hoth. It's so good. You sit there for a while and an AT-AT goes by. It's so good. I might have freaked out a little bit. Yeah.
You think?
we walked in and my friend Eric took one look at me and went, Kelly, we're home.
Oh.
It was so good.
That's amazing.
It was so good. Everybody was like dressed in a costume. There was a Star Wars trivia contest. I might have won the round I competed in. It was super duper great. And like, you know, you get escorted to your seat by an Imperial guard. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Next weekend, they're doing it again. It's Studio One Theaters, and they're doing it again the 19th of January.
I don't anticipate being in Portland that weekend, but you never know.
Hey, cash in some miles and head this direction, because, dude.
But for our listeners who may be in Portland next weekend, do check it out. Studio One Theaters, the costume party, full Fathom 5 screening of Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. The fact is that like taking that trip out of the country put me behind on a fair amount of pop culture, and so I have some work to do, but I've known this for a while, so I will try to catch up. But we're at the hour mark. We should probably let our listeners go to the scrimmage of the Tatooine Wolverines and the Naboo fighting walkers.
I was looking for the fighting Ewoks. Like that's
the
all
fighting the fighting Ewoks. That's it. The scrapping Ewoks. the Naboo. What was the water people on Naboo?
The Gungans.
The Gungans. Yeah. The Naboo.
Do we have to?
we don't have to.
Let's
but.
Not.
The Naboo speeders, we as always are glad to have you all with us. Kelly, where can the people find you?
Well, first we have to say hello to the people.
Oh my God, the people! We have to say hello to the people. Seriously, Brent, new year, new rules. Hello, Chris Fuller. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Chris Fuller. Hi, Kelly.
Hi Info Driveway. Hi, Brittany. Hi, Lenny. Hi, Deidre. Hi, Javi.
Hi, Lenny. I hope you're doing well.
Oh, we should actually say a special hello and get well soon to Tony Walla, who Tony. Has been, yeah, Tony has been dealing with some challenging health issues and had a procedure a few weeks ago. As far as I know, he is recovering well. But we send our best regards and wishes for an easy recovery.
Yes.
To Tony. Who else do we need to? Hi, phone boy, of course. Hi, Dave McGee.
Oh, Dave McGee. Infinite Dave's.
Yeah. Oh, we have to say a special, it's been a very rough week for Canada. Of course, the Canadian, the horrible loss of life in the crash of the Ukraine Airlines flight in Tehran. Many of the folks who were transiting through Canada are coming back to Canada. So it's very, very, very difficult and very sad. And also, Canada today lost a rock and roll icon.
A national treasure.
Neil Peart from Rush passed away unexpectedly. So, so Dave and all our Canadian listeners, we send our best wishes and our condolences on all the crap that you are dealing with right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Who else do we have to say hi to?
Hi, Diane. I know.
Hi, Diane.
Is who we're gonna say? We're gonna have to start a list at this point. If we
we're gonna need some sort of Google sheet.
If you would like to be a person to whom we say hello on this show,
yes.
The way that you do that is you go on Twitter, and we'll tell you who we are there in a moment. Mm-hmm. And you go there. And you tell us that you are a listener, and if you will publicly admit it, we will publicly acknowledge your listenation on the show.
This we will do.
Yes.
And I want to... I mentioned already that I'm going to be in Las Vegas in February. I want to also say that I've joined the Here to Sing adult choir here in New York City. So
yay!
If anybody is in New York and is looking for... a fun thing to do on a Tuesday night to come and sing with some people. You could do that. It's like karaoke, but without the weird videos.
Oh.
And actually, also, you're working on getting good at one song as opposed to doing 20 different songs in a night. But that's not important right now. The point is, we're doing this. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll be sure to let people know when performances are coming up.
And depending on when this comes out... Core Audio, which is what the bunch of nerds that I hang out with and karaoke with are getting together this coming Tuesday relative to recording date. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to aim to have the show out this weekend. So they will be... we are recording this on January 10th. It will be out sometime between January 10th and January 12th. So the Tuesday in question would be the 14th
yes.
of January. So if you'd like to join Core Audio, you can do so
yes.
at that time.
And we'd like to have you because it's always fun.
And if we forgot to say hello to anybody, please let us know.
Please publicly shame us.
Please publicly shame us.
For our neglect in doing so.
Our 2020 resolution is to have a
to make
Google
a friggin'
sheet,
list.
A Google sheet of listeners.
Yes.
Individually fingerprinted and retina scanned. Kelly, yes. Where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter as Verso, V-E-R-S-O. You can also find me over at Mac Observer hosting the Daily Observations podcast on weekday mornings. And you can find me over at The Incomparable. So the footnote to that is that since I cannot have a conversation with Mike yet about Rise of Skywalker, you can listen to me have that conversation with Jason Snell and Dan Morin and John Syracuse and some other folks as we talk about our thoughts and feelings on Rise of Skywalker.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that one. I will say again the episode of The Incomparable that covered Edge of Tomorrow,
yeah.
Lived, I Repeat. That was a really good episode, and it's for an underrated film.
Yep.
So it was definitely a fun listen, and it reminded me that I should spend more time listening to that podcast.
Yes.
You can
there's
find
shows over
me-
there about everything. Like I
there
do have to
really
plug
are.
It because the whole reason I ended up being a known associate of The Incomparable is because Don Melton and I do a Westworld podcast, which is I keep threatening to bring it back, and Don keeps threatening to bring it back, and then something happens, and then you know we can't bring it back. I'm in the hospital. Don's off, you know, something happens to Don and he has like a stack of doctor's appointments. So like we're finally at the point where like they said the new season was coming in 2020, so that means we got to get off our butts and get our rewatch happening. So it's probably going to kick off soon. I know I've said that before, but I think we mean it this time. And Don at the time said, you know, I'm friends with the people at The Incomparable. I'll see if they want the show. And I was like, okay. And so I ended up becoming an Incomparable panelist through Don Melton. So, you know, hey.
Spectacular. And
yeah. So when that comes back, you can listen to me talk to you about the Wild West sex robots of Westworld. it's called Greetings from the Uncanny Valley. And it's a super fun show. It's part of the TV podcast over at The Incomparable. And if there are other TV shows you like, check the TV feed, because you never know if there's an episode over there that is dedicated to you.
Greetings from scenic Uncanny Valley. by the way, I actually had somebody say to me today something very much like the title of one of our previous shows.
Mom Loves a Frappuccino?
Close. It was... It was, you know, I cannot express the sum total of my love for you. And I said, do you realize that I once titled a podcast The Total Addressable Market of My Love for You? And she said, no, I did not realize that. And I said, well, allow me to share that that is a thing that did actually happen. and sent the link. So hi, Lauren, if you're listening, that's how that happened.
The only reason that's the episode title that sticks in my brain is because, like, I looked at the stats one time, and that show has, like, an order of magnitude more listeners than any of the others.
Well, Mom Loves a Frappuccino. You're talking about Mom Loves a Frappuccino.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. As it
I'm
was
like,
hugely.
I don't know what happened on that episode that made the free world listen to it, but, like,
hugely popular.
Relatively to the rest of our stats. Yeah. It's like the runaway hit. And I'm going to have to go back. I hate having to listen to myself, but I feel like I have to go back and listen to it and just be like, what happened?
Did we talk about this last time about how I found out that I was part of the Aaron Reynolds social media empire origin story? Did we talk about this?
I don't know.
I think we. I don't think we did.
Tell it briefly because we're trying to wrap up.
I'm telling it briefly because we're trying to wrap up. So, and I'll throw a link in.
Start with who is Aaron Reynolds?
Aaron Reynolds is the former friend of the blog, and he is the impresario behind Bat Labels 66, Swear Trek. Tiny James Bond and Effin' Birds.
Wait. There's a James Bond one too?
There's a James Bond Twitter account.
Okay.
Swear. But we don't
No, Sweary Doctor Who.
Sweary Doctor Who, yes. Swear Who.
Swear Who and Swear Who, Effin' Birds, and Swear Trek.
Yes.
Those
and,
are where
and bat and bat labels. So but this started started with Bat Labels. So there was an interview that he did with Inc. magazine.
Yeah.
About the origin of his Twitter and comedy empire, and now a book, and I just got my physical copy of the Effin' Birds book. And the question was how did he go viral? And he was talking about, you know, authentic engagement with people, and what had happened, apparently unbeknownst to me, was that the first person who had a bit of reach who retweeted a Bat Label, which mm-hmm. happened to be a Lucite model of Gotham City, I believe.
Oh, okay. First of all, Bat Labels is exactly what it says on the tin. It's just a Twitter account that has an image of something that is clearly labeled from an episode of Batman. It's just a screen grab, and it's precisely what it sounds like.
Yes, just and it's
so
fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was me, and I tweeted that, and then the Planetary Society tweeted it, and then Peter Sagal from Wait, Don't Tell Me. And it eventually got to Will Wheaton, and Will Wheaton was the person who like blew it wide open. But I did not know until that moment, until reading it, that I was part
that
of that.
Was you?
that I was part of the chain. And I was absolutely gobsmacked. I did not know. And I said to my children, I am a D-list internet celebrity. And they said, we know you literally have a t-shirt
that says that.
That says D-list internet celebrity. I said, no, but really? So anyway, we'll put that in the show notes. I was touched, but I was also really surprised because I did not have any idea that I had been at any point part of the original amplification of what Aaron was doing. So that was pretty cool. I can't believe I forgot about that. Yeah. Anyway, if I told the story already, folks, I'm sorry. We're addled. We don't know what day it is. We're pretty sure it's Friday. You can find me on the Twitters as at D-List Internet Celebrity. No, just kidding. At Mike T. Rose. You can find me here on the show. You can find the show at the_aftershow on Twitter and at aftershowpodcast.com. We will be back in a couple weeks. In the meantime, please let us know if you would like us to mention you on the show. And we will do it because that is the kind of listener service that we love to do. But in the meantime, have a great week, stay safe, and we'll see you very soon.